Today is Wednesday, June 5th, 2024. My name is Daniel. Welcome to The Geeky Gay. This is a show where Adam talks about his life 5 days a week, and you listen. And today is no different, really. I mean, if you've stuck around this far, then it's no different. Again, one of the only episodes of Geeky Gay that Adam actually listens to. So hi, Adam. Hope you're enjoying your vacation slash work holiday. Let's see. What was I going to talk about today? Oh, I know what I was going to talk about. I'm going to give you a piece of free advice as someone who goes to theme parks often. Just a little life advice, just a little free life advice from me to you. Because as we've already established, I'm very magnanimous. If you go to a theme park with a bunch of people, you should probably organize some kind of a meetup place in case someone gets lost. Because this evening we went to a Typhoon Lagoon event with a bunch of people that we were invited to. And midway through the evening, I was in the wave pool. Everyone was in the wave pool. I swam out a little bit. I swam back and suddenly I couldn't find anyone. Didn't know where they were. Stood around for a long time trying to find them. They didn't know where I was. I didn't know where they were. We didn't have a plan of like, oh, well, if we get separated, we'll meet back here or something like that. So I basically ruined everyone's evening because they spent a whole bunch of time worrying about where I was. I was walking around the park trying to find them. And when I finally did meet them or meet back up with them, you know, they were upset. So there you go. Little free advice. Plan ahead. Set a meeting place. It was a water park, so it's not like you could text somebody or message them. I guess at a real theme park, you could have like texted or messaged or something because people would have their phones on them, right? But you're at a water park. People aren't carrying their phones with them. In my case, I wasn't even wearing my glasses, which obviously added to the problem of me trying to find them. But does he fade that music out? There's so many questions about the inner workings of the Geeky Gay. Don't you just love this when I fill in for him? It's just an endless show of asking questions about how he actually does the show. I will tell you this. I did get a text this evening while I was at the water park from Adam, who gave me the full transcript of what to say at the end of the show. So you should be happy. At the end of the show, I will actually know how to end the show. Right. Like we used to have this problem on the mix that people would get so flustered when they'd make a phone call that they didn't know how to end the call. And then Kathy Bacon came up with the ingenious idea of just saying Woodhaven. And then that alerts us, the host, that you are done with the call and we can hang up and move on. So there you go. So instead of me just saying Woodhaven, that would be great though, wouldn't it? Maybe I should just end the show by saying Woodhaven. Yeah, that sounds like a good idea. Anyway, as I kind of teased yesterday, I wanted to talk about this documentary that I saw on Max called Movie Pass Movie Crash. I believe that's the name of it. I'm not going to Google it now. But yeah, I believe that's it. Movie Pass Movie Crash. I don't know if you guys remember Movie Pass, but one of the podcasts that I listen to religiously, Cord Killers, used to talk about MoviePass back in its heyday. And what had happened is that it was a company that had been around since 2011, and some new leadership came in later in their life, and they had the genius marketing idea of, let's just set our price at $10 a month. For $10 a month, you can join MoviePass. You can go see as many movies as you want. One movie a day, but you can go see any theater, go see any movie you want, one movie a day, as many as you want. Well, I mean, obviously you're capped at like 30 movies a month, but the point is that was their business. And they did this $10 a month thing so that they could get more subscribers. It had taken them like 5 years to get like 20,000 subscribers. And then when they hit this $10 unlimited buffet model, their user numbers like shot up, and just like everything that's crazy in the new web system, right? It doesn't matter if you can make money or not. You just need users, right? Like Netflix. Netflix hemorrhaged cash for years and years and years. But then once they passed like 100 million users, they started figuring out how to actually make money. Same with Amazon. Actually, Amazon hemorrhaged cash for like its first 5 or 6 years of business. And so this was the concept, right? MoviePass did this and they would make it. So this is a documentary about the rise and the eventual fall and crash of MoviePass. Because it doesn't take a rocket scientist to figure out that if I go and see 5 or 6 movies a month for $10 and each one of those movies cost $10 or $15 to see, because MoviePass was still paying the theater the ticket price, right? So they were losing money just by me seeing one movie a month if I was a subscriber. And of course, the average subscriber was seeing 4 movies a month. So they were just hemorrhaging cash. They went through hundreds of millions of dollars of venture capital with absolutely nothing to show about it, no to show for it. And it was basically a big scam. And it had nothing to do with the original creators of MoviePass. They were kind of pushed out by these other guys that were kind of, you know, slick salespeople. And of course, just like any rich, successful, well, rich white guy, they suffered no consequence from this. They wasted hundreds of millions of dollars of investors' money and have almost no consequences to this. They still get to keep all their money that they have, of course. Anyway, so I was watching this movie. And I would recommend you seeing it. I don't think I've spoiled too much of it. It is a very interesting story, and it's well done. So if you have Max, make sure you check out MoviePass, Movie Crash. But the thing that kind of got me was at the end of the movie, in the prologue, as it were, there was, after the MoviePass crashed, and the FBI investigated, and the Securities and Exchange Commission investigated, blah, blah, blah. The company auctioned off the name MoviePass, and the original creator of the company, or the original guy that came up with the original idea for MoviePass, was able to buy back the name for very little money, and then relaunched MoviePass in a way that was not a $10 a month. It was a more reasonable amount of money, where the MoviePass wasn't losing money on every transaction. And so in the prologue, it says, you know, MoviePass has now had its first successful quarter of profit. But I got to thinking about this, because all throughout the movie, everyone kept saying what a great idea this was, that this was a great idea. And it was just mismanaged by the salespeople thing, but this is really a great idea. And that kind of got me to thinking about movies and the way that movies are done. And I got to say, I don't really think it's a good idea because you're a third party in all of this, right? If you're buying tickets from theaters for people to go and see their movies, even if you're charging $50 a month and you let them see 3 movies a month and it's a slight discount, where is your money-making model here, right? Like, I understand AMC doing their own subscription service, because AMC splits the ticket sales with the distributor / the production company that makes the movie, right? So AMC doesn't have to pay $15 per ticket, right? So AMC could actually make money if they charged you $10 a month and allowed you to see 2 or 3 movies. They only have to pay for the seats that are filled in those theaters, and they don't have to pay the full price because they themselves are one of the people that gets paid. So their piece comes right off the top. And by some estimates, those theaters are getting about 50% of the ticket price within the first couple of weeks of a movie. So I could see how a theater chain could certainly offer a subscription service. But if you're the third party guy, I don't understand what the value of your company is, right? Like, how do you spin this? If you go to a theater and say, well, we've got all these members that want to see movies, so you should give us a discount. Well, the theater is basically going to say, well, yeah, but we could do that ourselves. Like, we don't need you. We can sell subscriptions ourselves. Like, you The technology that you're bringing to the table is the ability to go through different theaters' websites and find, you know, how to buy the tickets on those websites. And you're basically facilitating a bunch of different theater chains to your users, right? When your user sits down and tries to find a movie near them, it doesn't matter if it's an AMC or Regal or Martin, wherever it's at, you can buy that ticket, right? And then in the back end, MoviePass will pay for that ticket for you. Well, AMC doesn't need to do that, right? AMC, they don't need that technology. They only care about you coming to the AMC theater to see the movie. So why would AMC be interested in MoviePass? Why would Regal be interested in this? Like, I don't understand where the value add is here, because when you strip away the ability to buy a ticket from any theater of any chain, and then if you don't need that, right? Then what's the value add? What's the value? It just seems like all you have then is just an app that even the company, you know, in a best case scenario, you would think, well, oh, AMC will just buy them out and then they'll make it their own. But they don't even need to buy them out, right? Because MoviePass isn't using an AMC API or something like that. They're actually like scraping the AMC website to try and figure out how to buy the tickets. AMC doesn't need to do that. They have their own programmers. They can talk directly to the database. I don't know. It just seemed weird that people kept talking about what a great value that this company was and what the future was bright for it, because this is such a unique and great offering. But the whole time I'm thinking, yeah, but it's not a great offering if you're a movie theater. And those are the people, unfortunately, that control the movie. Don't even get me started on the enchidification of the movie experience, right? Nowadays, you go to a theater, you get 30 minutes of ads. Like, I'm not talking about the pre-show trivia stuff like that, or maybe the occasional Coca-Cola commercial before the posted movie start time. I'm talking about after the movie start time has passed. Now the lights go down and you get 20 minutes of commercials before you get another 20 minutes of previews. Which means that the movie that was supposed to start at 8 actually isn't going to start until 8:45. And people know this, so they don't show up into the theater until 8:40, which means that you think you have a great seat in a theater without a bunch of annoying people next to you, but then they all come trudging in at the last minute, eating their popcorn and making noise and whatever. It's such a horrible experience. It's such a horrible experience in 2024 when you can buy an 85-inch 4K TV for under $1,000. What is the allure of the movie going experience nowadays, right? It just seems like it's a horrible experience. They usually have the sound turned on. You've already got me started. Oh, I have a script. As we approach the end of the show here, I actually know what I'm supposed to say. So let me just say this. For more episodes, you can go to geekygay.com. You can email Adam at adamburns.uk@gmail.com. Tell him how much you've enjoyed me filling in for him. You can call or text 479-221-9393. And you can find many more LGBT and LGBTQ-friendly podcasts at pride48.com. We'll talk to you guys tomorrow. Bye. Oh, Woodhaven.
This show is part of the Pride 48 Podcasting Network. Check out more great shows at pride48.com.